Okay.
Child of thunder, child of flame. Marish Arthur, Hector A. Dib. Adrian Lester Kendall, I can skip. So.
Is there a buzz on everybody's mind, or is it just mine?
Oh, you hear it too?
Okay. Yeah, it's like boom.
Yeah, just a silent verb. Yes, I hear it.
Okay.
This is Ayla. It's real hot where I'm at, and I have the window open because I don't have air conditioning, but there's a lot of thunder outside. Is that what you guys are hearing?
No.
Okay.
Short circuit.
Yeah, it's almost like a reverb.
Oh, okay.
That's one of those things we deal with in classes.
That hum is coming from my line.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, I can't do anything about it, though.
It's the humming line. Well, not to worry. We can hear, I think. But I was really taken and concerned with this exit ritual we've been doing through listening. I know you. It's a little different one than what we've had before. And before we all, you know, share our experience with it, has anyone ever had the experience when you met someone for the first time who talked your ear off and then said as they were parting, "Oh, it was wonderful to meet you. You're such an interesting chap," or something like that? I don't know if you've had that experience or not, but it has happened to me in them, and it's perhaps another version of through listening, I know you, you know, or it's the negation of that or something, or what is it they thought they knew? But, Ayla, would you like to lead us through that kind of an experience?
You betcha. Is everybody on the call tonight?
Everyone, but I haven't heard Sharon.
Okay.
I'm here.
I knew you were there because I heard you laugh. Oh, really? I was aware you were there. I don't know how. Maybe it wasn't, but
maybe you heard her spirit.
That's
interesting.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm gonna push the mute button.
Okay.
Otherwise, we'll start here.
Well, Doc, why don't you start then, since you're talking already?
Well, that's good.
What did you experience when you did that?
Well,
you know, like, I know it's one thing to have the experience of it like you described. But what I'm really curious about also is, you know, you're outside and you're sort of greeting the sky, Father, and greeting Earth, Mother, and such, and saying, through listening, I know you. I mean, that didn't seem curious to you at all, or nothing, or what, or?
Well, I experienced more of that later on in the day. I mean, I don't usually have the instantaneous, you know, listening at the moment I'm doing my exit rituals, more happening evolution during the day. That's how it kind of works for me.
How frequently do you do the exit rituals, would you say?
I'd say between 4 and 5 times.
Okay. Okay. Throughout.
I walk out in the morning at 4:30. That's the first thing I do.
Right. And and so throughout the day, and but I mean, so it never stopped you in your tracks, so to speak, in terms of what does that mean?
No, it's just kind of a, like throughout the day, I just start, like in Brisbane particularly, I hear more of what's underlying in people's speaking to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just how I experience it. I guess I'm more subtle.
But it's not that. It's not that that I'm getting at. It's, I've noticed throughout the course in real, you know, here we are, we're just at the end of it, that a lot of your experiences centered around people.
Taking them around people all day long.
Exactly. And a lot of our lives is focused around the things that take up our lives. And yet, with the whole thing that we're studying, this whole thing about magic, is bringing another force into the world, into our world, into our lives, into our experiences. And I wouldn't want you to miss out on something else that is happening that you're not seeing. You know, and it's happening in spite of the fact that perhaps you're not seeing it. However, if you don't become aware of it, you won't know how to use it. So that's what I'm talking about. But let's see what other people, maybe other people's experiences will give you some other ideas. Go ahead, Ayla. I just couldn't resist.
No, that was good. I love hearing you talk about things like that. Don, are you there?
Yes.
How about you?
I felt the connection to another realm this week, and I kept getting very quiet to tune into it. And it's sort of hard to explain what I was tapping into, but it felt like I was vibrating on another level when I did tap into it, and that it took me, I kept seeing visions of like being part of a big tapestry of stars in the night, and kind of a, you know, being swept into the cosmos kind of feeling. And I also asked, you know, to know Sky Father and Earth Mother and the Four Winds better, because I felt a great responsibility this week. My niece, Melina, was here for the first time. I hadn't met her before. She's 34 years old. And so I used the exit ritual to try to keep myself grounded and centered during this very you know, I felt it was a moment that was, you know, a big one in my life. And for the most part, what it did was keep me, I thought that the feedback that I was getting was, it kept me to where I was more of an example to both of my nieces. My other niece, Jessica, was there too. You know, I did some work with them, and when I did the massage work on them, I did ask for help from higher powers to come and work through me to bring about the level of healing on a family level that we needed, and to start mending something that Melina wrote back later and said that she felt like we were part of something beautifully broken but mostly whole. And it's hard to even put into words the input that I was getting during this, but for the most part it kept me very centered and grounded until at the very end when I guess I lost my focus. And on the way home from the airport, I caught a cold that my other niece Jessica had. And I think what it was I let my guard down in some way and quit listening and quit staying tuned in, and maybe was coming from a different archetype or something, a different belief system. But the other interesting part of that is that tonight in the Freedom class, again, I was tuned in and listening through listening to the other people in the class and through listening to the words of some writers and everything, I realized I don't have to vibrate on that level. I can rise above that. And as I did, I could feel the cold passing. And so what I learned through all this was that if we will access what we need, if we will go forth and pull to us what we need and pause long enough from our own chatter and from our own errands and daily chores and whatever else to take the information in to where we can really put it to use and overcome any false beliefs, that we can have any kind of experience that we want.
That's right on. I liked what you had to say. I liked what you said when you felt like you were existing on a higher plane or a different plane than usual. And I liked your analogy of the stars, because I kind of felt a little bit of that myself this week. But that was really good. Alan, do you have any comments?
No, I like the star image too, because I just get the feeling sometimes that we're so cloistered sometimes here on the earth, and we miss the fact that there is just a whole array of other interreactions going on throughout galaxies and the universe and so forth, that and it would seem on one level that's remote and has nothing to do with us, but at the same time, those are energies that pass through us. And I guess that's what struck me as I did this, that there was a much vaster unknown out there that called, and I felt that in what you were saying too, Don.
There was a depth to it that is indescribable.
When I was, the first time I did it, I noticed an immediate, like, an absorption of myself and other beings. I felt like I was just at one, and it did feel different. And it did feel like I was operating on a little different, just shifted a little bit. But I wanted to make a comment on what you said, Alan, at the opening of class. Some things were happening to me, and I was shocked. I went shopping with my daughter. She's 16. She wanted to go in the Gap, and so I followed her in there, and I'm just kind of looking. And this woman, the young woman, I don't know, like 25, 30, just started talking to me, just started telling me what happened to her last night, and, you know, a big rainstorm, and how she went to her car, and how she had the sunroof open and flooded, and this and that, and talked about what she was going to get off work tonight, and I don't even think I said hello to her. I just looked at her and smiled. And it was just like went on for like 5 minutes there. And of course I thought it was wonderful, because I wasn't really interested in following my daughter around while she was looking at things. I was just kind of with her. And it was really nice, and I just said, well, it was nice
talking with her. She goes, "You know, it was so nice talking with you. Just had a good day." And she came up to me one more time before I got out of store, real quickly. But it was, and one other time that right after the other, you know, 2 days in a row, and I thought, "Wow, this is very different." So that, yes, I could.
Mm-hmm.
So Nanette, did you want to share anything?
I didn't notice anything particular about listening. I mean, I did the listening thing, and I don't know. I had a very different theme other than listening. You know, this week.
Well, now the ritual was not listening. Did you know what it was?
Walking and listening.
No.
Oh. Okay. Well.
No, there was a very definite reason for doing this, and maybe, Doc, maybe you did it that way, too. I don't know. What did you do, Doc? Is Doc there?
I'm here, my class.
Oh, sorry.
I did both of them, actually. Started out with one, and I changed to the other.
So you just do listening, I know you?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the end of the week.
Yeah. Okay. And so now you didn't do through listening, I know you?
No, I did walking in my listening.
Okay. I don't know where you got that one.
Well, I said, "Doc, what's the thing this week?" He said, "Walking in my listening." I said, "Okay." So I just did that one.
Okay. It's up to you whether you want to do it or not, but this is directly geared to help you all with your spell work.
Oh, okay.
You know, so you can either take advantage of it or not. But if you're going to do spell work, anybody that wants to do spell work, you can't operate from the world plane and do very effective spell work. You've got to operate at the level that spell work works. And it's a very different reality, and it's a very different plane. If you try to do your spell from your ordinary life place, it will not be very effective. I can assure you of that. And that's why we tell you all these things, but it takes an actual experience to find out what we're talking about. When we say, keep your focus, keep your intention, those are words that often don't mean a whole lot to the person. However, you know, there is a place where this energy matrix called a spell, forms that. And when you operate in that place as you build it, it always works. And if when you don't, it is much more as to what results it will produce. So all the things that we do in these classes are actually all part of a process. And we have this thing we remind ourselves of over and over again: altered procedures produce altered results. And I'm not like results oriented. I used to be. But when I teach nowadays, I just figure my part is to offer the material. And whatever result anybody gets is, you know, sort of your gift to yourself, so to speak. And that's okay. And of course, at the same time, you know, I love it when people get outrageous results. That's really cool. So but we give you all the parts as best as we know how. And if you leave out parts, you kind of like trying to drive your car without wheels. So, yeah, it's all there for a reason. Sharon with us?
Hello?
So, Ayla, what kind of talk, you want to talk a little bit about how this whole thing works of, Nanette and I were talking during the week, and just as a clarifier, how it works with, I mean, like when you know you want to do a spell and you've got an idea and then you do these read, it's this process I've been talking about. I just want to make sure everybody understands it because it's a little different from the tarot readings we've done before. Like when you do your base reading and then you do your magi reading and then you start to do your directors and limiters. From your experience, how do we do it? How do we go from the idea of the spell to where we've got a list of directors and limiters? That's what I want to know.
Well, you just first pick what you want to do a spell on, and you do your first 12 card reading on that. And how I do it is I don't do a question. I write down. I put down on this one, like what I'm doing on my weight loss. And I just put down my weight loss, and I have Ace of Discs for my weight loss. And when the reading comes out, it shows me where, what's been presenting me, my thoughts, all kinds of things that have prevented me from losing weight back and forth. Now,
were any of those things like not so clear to you prior to the reading, or were they all things you already knew?
Most of the things I already knew, but I didn't know the effect on a few. I didn't know the effect of, like, my. All right, I'll talk about this. My basic. I have a belief that I thought that I got rid of. By doing magical work the past 3 years. But for some reason, I guess, I still think that scientifically things won't work out unless they work out in a scientific manner, on a scientific time schedule, you know? So I had to write that into my directors and limiters. That's one thing that I was still having trouble with as far as changing something in mundane level world without doing a spell. Now,
you're saying that almost like not a conscious belief, but like a more hidden or buried belief that if something was not accomplished scientifically, it could not come about or something like that?
Exactly. Still in my subconscious also, that one seemed to not... go from my head into my internal, you know, subconscious yet. Also that,
So how would you then, so having seen that, what did that prompt you to do in terms of your directives and limiters in regard to that, or did that in any way show up in your second reading where you put, the magi on your Ace of Discs?
You know, no, not, it didn't show up much. Everything that, I can't remember what the reading exactly was, but everything came out okay.
So,
if I do a spell. Now, I've written my directors and limiters, but as yet I haven't done a reading on those.
Okay.
Because I'm still doing my candle thing. But,
you're doing your candle thing?
I'm designing my candle, what I'll probably be getting finished with the next couple of days, because I want to get this launched in about 3 or 4 days.
Right.
So don't
get yourself too far ahead. I would not do too much designing of a candle until you know your directors and limiters work.
Okay, I was just going to do the designing and the directors and limiters all at one time.
No. You see, the thing is that every time you step up to another level in the spell process, you want the...
I want to have each step break there.
Well, it's not just that. It's that the the designs for the verses and the scandal really want to come out of the significant factors or features of the directors and limiters.
Right.
So, if you were missing an important feature in your directors and limiters, you might not get that into your design.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I see what you mean. It would be a waste of time for me to design my candle because I'd have to change it. The candle actually is a blueprint of my director's limiter.
Yeah, that's what you would want. And I mean, you can do it a lot of different ways, but
yeah, you're right. I think it just, you know, I'll just do it. I can do a reading on my director's limiters, and I have them all written out.
Yeah. And sometimes the value of that is, like, for instance, what I'm hearing is that the Magi reading did not feature the beliefs that you were talking about as a major problem.
Right. Or anything in the first thing as a major problem.
Okay.
So I'm real comfortable with going and doing a spell. Also, it kind of surprised me because I've already lost, like, a total of 14 pounds. So I thought, well, maybe I don't need to do a spell, but, you know, I've done this before where I've lost some weight and then I just kind of hang out at that place forever. So, I try not to let my intellectual thinking get in the way of this. So,
well, there's more here than meets the eye, and what you're telling us is very important because, you see, okay, understand this. Spells operate outside of time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It is not uncommon to have people start designing a spell and before they ever even get it designed to have it start working.
Oh, yes. I knew that when we were doing the Tarot spell.
Right. So that does not imply that one should not continue for a number of reasons. Because, you see, the process of building the spell is as much a part of the spell as the releasing of the spell and what comes after.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole process is like an act of power. And so you may be discovering things about yourself in this process that may affect other parts of your life, too. And so there is a great sort of discovery that can happen in the process of just building even a simple single candle spell that can kind of clue us in to other areas of our lives where we've been having difficulties or challenges, maybe even not being aware of how we were affecting those parts of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so... So it isn't just a simple result of the loss of weight that makes a spell valuable, the spell process valuable. It is because it gets you working in another realm where magic exists, and so you're pulling in other possibilities at the same time, particularly when you say you're working on one more than one spell at once, too. I mean, it's like you're feeding both simultaneously. And so, you know, it's very good. I mean, it's like the more that you focus in that realm, i.e. leaving the normal realms alone, free of our opinions and beliefs, the greater everything can work for you.
And that is something that becomes more powerful, I think, the more one does it, because it's just not, you can't just think it so, do a little bit here and there and expect it to be as powerful as it could if you were, like I've done other spells, a lot of other spells,
And I don't think a candle spell is really simple to me. It's, I mean, it's simpler than a tarot spell, but, you know, if you get four candles with the carrier candle going, it's a pretty good spell. And to me, that place that I need to be creating a spell or working on the spell versus is, to me, a very magical space that I wish that I could be in a lot more often in my everyday existence.
Sure, and you can, and you will. And
well, I'm a lot more that way than I used to be, but it's just...
Yeah. I mean, it's like a lot of people really have this hunger to just throw magic balls everywhere, you know. This is how you do it, but it isn't quite as immediate as it would seem in Harry Potter stuff, you know. But it's through this diligence that we get to a place where eventually we're just attracting in all these forces. And so the price is these sort of little bits and pieces that we're putting together. But there's a bigger picture, and that's what I wanted, you know, you to demonstrate, and you are. That's what you're... That's the whole point you're making. Cool. Yeah.
Well, thank you for the advice on not reading both the... Because there's no point in designing the candle when I haven't confirmed the directors and limiters. So.
Yeah, and it's all those steps that make the spell stronger anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Including those individual steps, you know. And the point I want to make is that because Nanette sent me her reading on just the base issue.
Oh, yeah?
You know, and then we talked on the phone, and I said, well, you really want to do the reading with the Magi, and then what would be your best understanding of the directives and limiters? Because it's all of that that has to be looked at together.
Right.
And so how did you address the issue of your beliefs with your director's limit? I'm intrigued by that idea.
Oh, okay. I put no fears, negative thoughts, or beliefs of scientific probability of others or mine shall prevent this spell from manifesting its directors.
Cool. So almost like putting an omnil around your
right.
around your beliefs. Yeah, that's good.
I have one other that I have that I put right after that, which incorporates a little bit of both. My actions, both physical and mental, will not have an adverse reaction to the spell.
Okay, now watch when you do your reading. If you get a bunch of wands reverse, take that out.
Take this one out?
Yeah. If you get either swords or wands. Because you see, okay, your first one was really good. That was a limiter. Okay.
Right.
And the second one is nibbling at being an enforcer.
Oh, now how do you think that? Because that to me is a limiter. Because maybe I should reword it. No, I think because anything I think of or anything that I do, like anything that I do physically, the physical, what I do in this physical plane does not affect the manifestation of the spell.
Well, the fact though is that once you have done something, once you've taken a belief or a thought as far in a creation sequence as an action or a doing, you've produced a fair amount of causative reality, right?
Yeah, I was going to say it's crossed over more than.
So you're out of the magical realms then.
Yeah, you are. Okay. I'm going to take that out because that doesn't make sense. Right?
Do a reading on it and see.
Okay, because I was not thinking of the creation sequence.
and what you're asking the spell to do is to cancel out the effect of your action. That's an enforcer.
okay. Yes, it is.
Right? So.
Yeah, okay.
So, now, you see, the way enforces, the way I see enforces is if I can choose to take care of it through my own understanding, I don't want to put it in the stuff. And since you're already privy, it's harder with buried beliefs, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So you said, let's not have my buried beliefs have an adverse effect on the self. I think that's really good. That's cool. When you say my conscious thoughts, you didn't say the word conscious, but that's what you were talking about.
Yes, yeah.
And my actions, that's a creation sequence. I forget what you said from there.
Not have an adverse reaction to the spell.
Right. And so, you know, you're stepping over the line, possibly. You know, because you can choose to not act on your thoughts. You see what I'm getting at?
I see. Yes, in this manner, it might be an enforcer coming back to me.
Do it rather than your choice to do it.
Right.
And the spell probably will do if you build enough force in it. But you know what it's going to do? It's undermine your own choice. It's going to start presenting situations where you have to choose, and more, and more, and more.
Well, we don't want that. That's not why I'm doing the spell.
No, because it would bring you a bunch of the opposite.
Right. That would create the choice, so.
Yeah, that would create the grounds for choice. But you're not wanting that. You want to choose and get it out of the way and then get what you want.
Right.
This is very useful for all of us to be listening to, because it really begins to clarify how clever we have to be in seeing this process through. You know, this is not easy. This isn't kindergarten stuff.
You know, it sounds to me also like you have a hidden belief that you are not strong enough to make the choice.
Well, any hidden belief will tend to do that.
Yeah.
Even the hidden belief that only things that, you know, will happen in a scientific way.
Yeah.
Because that undermines the whole, her whole knowledge base of magic.
Right.
So, that is so. What you're saying is so. And hidden beliefs, even though they produce behaviors, at the level that it is just a belief, is still in the air. It's only air.
Yeah. But by her addressing that through a limiter, it would take care of the second one, wouldn't it?
Yeah. That is correct. She didn't need the second one, but she didn't know it.
Yeah, the second one is too, yeah.
Yeah, but see, I wanted you to find out by its real reading, you know, it's like, or not, I don't care, I'm not dying in the wool about that, but it's...
Well, I'll do a reading on one with and one without.
Yeah, that way you get a real clear view of how does the tarot reading tell you, whoops, watch out here, this isn't right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you want to find out.
Because mm-hmm.
You can't read these readings like normal readings. They don't work like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then Ed, is this helpful at all for you? Is this telling you anything? What's not sure for you?
Well, I'm listening to what you say, that the couple of readings I did, and I'm going, okay, and how does that, you know...
Translate for you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just not getting it, that's all.
Well,
what you're saying isn't good, it's just I just don't get what it's, you know...
Well, how to use it personally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so then tell us what kind of things came up in your readings. You did one on the, say, just the topic of the spell, and then you did one with the Magi. Okay, so was there any commonality to readings, anything that came up the same in both?
I guess also the second one, the first one seems a little easier to understand because it's just more like what was the situation.
Sure.
I talked to a reading like that with Dar like a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
Whereas this other one is asking a question more specific, like would a spell benefit in a situation with money?
Or how would a spell affect the situation?
Well, you know, I thought about the wording of the question. How would a spell just presumes that it would help? Automatically, whereas would a spell is saying, well, would it yes or would it no? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's certainly one way of doing it. So you did would a spell help?
Would a spell, because to say how would, and I thought about doing that, I thought, but how would presume that it would?
Well, how would it help will cover both.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's a better question in that it gives you a lot more options. Because would it kind of tends to bring out more of what are the turning factors.
You mean like what are the things that I alone need to deal with?
Not necessarily, but... I mean, ultimately, what it seems to me we want to know most is how do I get what I want?
Right.
And it's sort of like almost being a little defiant and saying, I'm not accepting no for an answer. You know, at the same time, of course, if you did a reading saying, how would a spell affect my money situation or whatever, and it was horrible, you know, you might say, I don't know that a spell would be that helpful right now.
Right.
You know, I mean, if it was just like loaded with reverses and the future and far future, and they were major arcana, like tower reverse and stuff, it'd be sort of like, whoa, you know.
Right.
But anyway, let's look at what you got. What kind of things, for instance, and one of the ways you look at that kind of a reading is things that seem to shift abruptly from the present to the future.
Well, one thing that I was kind of impressed with when I did the first one, there were a lot of discs in there.
Upright or reverse?
One.
They were equal upright or reverses?
Yes, about equal upright and reverses.
Okay, so what then in the second reading?
There's supposed to be a fair amount of swords.
Okay, so not so many discs.
Right.
Okay. So what? One thing that says to me is the problem is not money.
What is it, Will?
Well, I don't know, because I don't. I always looked at what isn't there. So what is there? You said swords.
Well, there's some cups and wands and discs.
Yeah, but more swords. But you don't really have to. Give me an idea of what are some of the reverse cards, like
far future?
No, not that's too far ahead. Say Are there any, did you run lines?
Yes.
Oh, good for you. Are there any, like, breaks where the present doesn't seem to really create the future line so much?
Yeah, I have one past line that goes directly to the far future with no present or future.
Okay, now, there's a possibility that that past ends and does not go to the far future.
Okay, that's an upright.
Okay, okay.
Okay. I don't see much that it can go to in the present, and then in the future it goes to Page of Cups reversed 7-1.
Okay. Now you don't know that that goes there.
I don't know that it goes there.
No, you don't.
Oh, I guess.
I'm telling you, you don't know that it goes there.
Oh, okay.
Because that Two of Cups reverse may not go forward because of the spell. Do you understand? Because a Page of Cups is something new. And that might be what the spell is working on. Now, the two may have wanted to go forward, but you may not want it to go forward. Okay, so the thing you want to ask yourself, now here's how you look at these kind of readings. The thing you want to ask yourself is, do I know what Two of Cups reverse judgment is for me that could be preventing money in my life or abundance, you know, material goodies.
Right.
And do you?
I didn't look that one up yet. I looked up two of the other flow lines. I didn't look that one up. But it seems to me kind of like that's the relationship card. So that means the relationship is not happy.
Well, it's because it's in the past and because it's reverse,
okay.
It's saying adversity in relationships.
Yeah.
Okay?
And then covered by judgment, it comes out and maybe a...
Not learning from your past, not from your past learning. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, now, you know, if you were on your first marriage or your first relationship, it might be somewhat different, but because you've had several relationships or marriages that were not so happy, right? Does it seem to you applicable that those lessons or those memories or those events could have an effect on your happy money-making ability?
They could. I don't see how it does, but I'm sure anything.
Well, the reading says it does.
Okay. I'm not seeing it, but, you know, I'm sure anything.
Well, because it presents a state of mind or a state of feeling. Just like what Ayla was talking about say, hidden beliefs or buried beliefs or whatever, kind of what you were working on, for instance, with Dar. That was a whole of, you were taking an old position and wanting to have a new way to see it or be it or whatever. Okay? And so just given that and that you got that to a despair reverse judgment would say to me that the same kind of renewal or what would you call it? Reevaluation of what you learned from past relationships is implied here. And that's what the Page of Cups reverse could be triggered into. See, that's not a necessary line, but it's a possible line. But it's not a line that you want. So what was the second card on the Page of Cups?
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. Doc and I just traded phones because they moved. Okay, so what was the question again?
What was the second card on the Page of Cups reverse?
7 of Wands.
Okay. Is not 7 of Wands an old belief? Or beliefs?
Is about beliefs?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I forget what the sevens mean, but one.
It's the beliefs that we put in front of ourselves. So, what it's saying to me is that, so far, in terms of what we looked at, that the area of how your emotions are affected by your beliefs is something you want to be very aware of as you do this spell. You don't want any old attitudes coming into that spell. So that's a real good warning. And just like what Ayla did, you can state that our old hidden beliefs need not limit the workings of myself. You see what I'm getting at?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But that's how we use these readings. You know, what is another reverse? Do you have some reverse swords? Now, that's the reinforcer of what I just told you.
Uh-huh.
Because that's saying, warning, old heartbreaks, you know, will affect the spell in terms of, like an ambush, disrupt the power of the spell. Okay, and then what does that go up to? Right. So, and that's saying it would prevent your passion, your force, from feeding the spell. So you're getting real clear indicators here as to what is problematic, not just for the spell, but in terms of what is problematic that is holding money away from you because you're not a victim, therefore nobody is sort of, you know, preventing you. And so these are the factors that are sort of the self-limiters that we all have, you know, but you're seeing them identified here. And the nice thing about this is you don't, from what you've said so far, there's no adverse external condition. I mean, maybe we haven't looked at everything that's reversed, but from everything you've presented so far, there's nothing from the outside world, which would be a lot harder to deal with than the factors within yourself. So what are the reverses?
Okay, also in the far future, there is an Eight of Discs reversed. Covered or seconded by the star.
Okay, and there's no other reverse disc going through it?
No other reverse disc.
Yeah, okay. So that's what the spell needs to work on. When you get an isolated thing like that, is saying this is the major challenging force that you want yourself to overcome. Does that make sense? So your directors and limiters want to feature that. Okay. Because eight of this is your career. It's that your career is not working in regard to star, your spiritual attainment. Okay. The only reason that that could be so is what we've already just talked about. In other words, forgiveness is the key. So there's inherent in everything that you're seeing here is not only, and I know there's positive lines too, and we obviously will look at those too, but maybe not tonight on this call because we're just trying to show people how you do this process. But it's really keying you in to those factors which are hampering your wins in life. And it's no external force, which is really cool. It's not like somebody's going to spell against somebody and they're getting even or you're getting some payback from something you did. This is all stuff going on inside of you. And so your directors and limiters want to clearly state that you want whatever, you know, money rewards you're asking for, and that these are consistent with your purpose here. In other words, it's sort of saying, well, you're sort of, you haven't really, it's not saying you haven't earned it, but it's saying it in the future would be contrary to your spiritual attainment. And your directors and limiters want to say, that's not true. I'm just fine. However you want to say that. It's not like saying, I have a right to this money, but it's saying, I want X number of dollars to happen in this period of time, and knowing that is going to happen because you're not going to feed that part of you from the past that has gotten in your way before. Does this make any sense to you?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, it's not like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. It's like, I'm not seeing how the bad relationships in the past, which are over, you know, because I'm not...
But they're not over. Because anytime... the only way you can tell if they're over or not is if you think of either of those gentlemen or even the first guy, you know, way back, the Japanese chap.
Uh-huh.
Do you have good thoughts? They're dwelling in you whether you dwell on them or not. That's what the reading is telling you.
They're dwelling on me.
In you. They are dwelling in you. See, that's what I'm telling you. Until we forgive, we can't forget. And this is the problem with buried stuff. It works even when we don't attend to it because we have not released it. So I grant you, you don't dwell on it, and that's wonderful. Yet it does not mean if you were free of it, it would not come up in the spell reading. So I can only tell you what the reading says. I didn't throw the reading, and I didn't make the cards, but it says it to you loud and clear.
That past bad relationships are affecting my...
Your self-worth.
My self-worth. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. That is right.
So that self-worth is the page of cups? Or?
I'm just giving you the general overall picture without reading all the increments.
Okay.
Yeah, the page of cups, yes, actually it is your self-worth. Of course it is. Yeah, and you have every right to a very powerful self-worth, not a limited one. And it's through that, okay, here's the principle. Abraham makes it really clear, the best way I've heard it said, nothing can come to us that we don't match. In other words, I want X number of dollars. I want a wonderful, fat career. But if my thoughts and feelings don't match that, it can't come. So if I have in me limiting thoughts and feelings about myself or my past or my dealings or my doings, that limits what can come to me. Now, you can't instantly correct that. I understand that. You can start working on it. You can agree to it. But just like what Ayla did, you can protect yourself from it. Now, do you see what I'm talking about? So that's how we use these. So, Doc, do you have any where are you at in this process?
He's got a
Oh, okay. Well, it's too bad because I hate for him to miss what we just worked with, but I guess he can pick it up on the tape, too.
He's also trying to be very, considerate.
Sure.
Making a lot of noise.
Oh, no, that's all right. I just didn't know if he had any questions or anything. Is he working on the spell? Yeah, I knew he is.
Oh, he's working on a spell. He's also working on keeping it quiet.
Sure. Okay. No worries. No problem. Don or Ayla, do you have? Was this useful? You have any questions?
Very useful. Yeah.
Thanks. Yes, that was great going through the reading. Very good.
Okay. Okay. Well, I want to talk, even though most of us are not perhaps ready for multiple candle spells, at least I want to present the idea and kind of what it's about so that in time, if you want to, you know what it's all about. And, did I understand, Ayla, you're doing a multiple?
Yes, that's going to be the second spell. I was going to do two of the single candle spells, but my second one, because I had two many areas, I'd rather do a four-candle spell plus a carrier candle. So
sure.
Yes,
that's cool. I've done those. They're really neat. Okay, so the point of what Ayla is talking about is when you have a situation where either a single candle spell won't produce enough power or force, or would be so heavily carved that it would be ridiculous to try and get the point across, then what you do is you go to a multiple candle spell. Oftentimes, if there's more elements that need to be addressed in terms of four elements, or even in terms of other elements, factors, having separate candles can be very useful. And then, of course, you have to get them to work together, and that's what this is all about. And you can use, obviously, different color candles to either represent the elemental concerns or issues at hand. You can, if it's a spell that deals with, say, money factors, as well as energy factors, as well as emotional factors, then you can keynote these in the color of the candles you use. But if you're in some kind of element sequence, put them in the right sequence, i.e., if you're using any air factors and a white or powder blue candle, put that in your east position for your spell, and then if you've got some fire factors and a fire sun yellow or red candle, that should go in the south, and et cetera, et cetera. If you've got two earths, then you still want even spacing, so you would put one earth in water and one earth in earth, you know, that kind of thing. Because you want the layouts, like on your poster, either two, three, or four, or five. You can do five candles. Beyond five candles, nah, you don't want to do anything like that, because if you would think you need more than five candles, it'd be better to do it to Rosco. Now, when you use multiple candle spells, you have to do what's called bridging. You have to bridge them all together, and the easiest way to do that is to cut yourself equal lengths of coat hanger wire with a pair of pliers, and then you have to shape them into arrows. You have to point one end and not the other end, and then they all go, then you drill the candles, you put your little candlesticks down, and then you plan the whole thing, and then you have to drill a little hole so that you can put these arrows, the notch end in your outer or spell candles, and the point end in the carrier candle that goes in the center, and they all bridge together. So it's a little more complex in terms of a setup. And then, of course, as far as each individual candle, it gets verses and carvings and anointing and all, just like a single candle spell, except each one has its own story, has its own part in the spell. And so you've got spell verses for each candle and for the carrier candle. So when you are ready to do that spell, you put everything together, you've got your bridging set up, and you've got all your candles there. It's always good to check their burning ability before you go to all the trouble to carve and anoint. And then you're getting ready to launch this spell. It's good to use the long wooden fireplace matches for this purpose, because these things can fire off pretty strongly. You've got your outer candles lit first, and then you light the carrier candle in the center, and it can really sort of make the outer candle flames come up really high suddenly, and you don't want your face in there, or your arm, so like I say. So anyway, you always start with your eastmost candle. Or if you don't have one in the east, if you have a south and a north, then you go to the south candle as your first candle. And then you light clockwise. So you light your eastmost candle, and once it's lit, then you say those verses. Then you light your south candle if you have four, and say those verses. Your west, then your north. Once you've done all that, and everything should be burning, not with a working flame, with a slightly inclined flame towards the carrier, and a slightly dampened flame. And if that's happening and everything seems all right, they're all burning pretty much the same, then you light the carrier candle and say, spell will spin and spell will go till all be done and it be spell. You've launched your spell. On the other hand, if you've lit all of your outer candles and one of them is burning very differently than the others, you've got to put them all out and check the bridging. Oftentimes the bridging isn't strong or tight. And then relight and do it again. And see if that candle now burns properly. But if you've got one that's a working flame and all the others are slightly suppressed flame angling in slightly towards the carrier, you've got something that's not working together. Or if that didn't take care of it, put them out again. You put them out in the same order as you lit them with your, don't blow them out. In this case, use a snuffer and just dampen them out. Trace, take that one candle out of the sequence, unbridge it. Take your carving tool and just without pressing, just lightly touching, retrace the carving from the bottom up to the top. Put it back in and try again. This time it will probably work. Sometimes it just wasn't enough energy in the carvings or something wasn't matching the rest of the candles. But once they're now burning fairly evenly, you light the carrier, say carrier, this carrier verse, spell will spin and spell will grow or go, till all be done and it be so, and then watch what happens. And generally what will happen is they'll all come up to working flames and go slightly propeller-like. They'll incline clockwise around the circle. In fact, you'll notice that the candles will even burn that. They'll drip that way if they're dripping candles. They'll drip on the clockwise side. And it's telling you your matrix is spinning clockwise, which is proper. You let it burn for half an hour or so, and then this time you blow it out. Starting it where you light it, in the east, in the south, the west, the north, and the carrier. And you've launched yourself. You can do it again, of course. You can light it again on another day and say the verses again. You want more power, more energy. We can see if I've missed it. I've already told you how to do a takedown. So, the only real difference in the procedure of a single and a multiple candle spell is the bridging factor and the factor that you light them in sequence and watch how they burn and so forth. Otherwise, it's pretty much the same. Sometimes, if you're doing a number of multiple candle spells or worldwide spells, it might be useful to build a spell board, which actually has a lockdown mechanism or place for each candle holder so that when you bridge, it's all sort of equal states and can't move, nothing can move, and so forth. That's what I did. That works real well. In that case, your spell board gets keyed like a plate. Any spell you launch, you want on a keyed plate. So even your single spells, you want to put on a key plate to launch them. With the multiple candle spell, you might have to key a platter. But that's how you protect it and keep it integral. And then we've really studied a lot about the sun candle, but there is a write-up in your notes about doing a house cleaning using a sun candle. Now, it's very useful when you do a spell, any kind of a spell like this, to have a sun candle burning at the same time and to charge that sun candle to sort of keep the area clean while your spell is burning, even if you've done a house cleaning. It's just one more additive that can be helpful. And so you've got some charge verses here as options. Child of flame, child of sun, imprint these walls with cheer and sun. That's nice. We've already gone over come along, so that's in your notes too, but I don't think there's anything more to add to that.
Well, how do you take apart a come along?
Well, this is with a candle, right? candle and magnet come along. It's a little different. Just that, you take the magnet off first.
Yeah.
Then take what you wrote on off.
Okay, that's what I did. I was just making sure.
Yeah, there's no, because you're not, it's not simulacra magic.
Yeah.
You're not keyed anything. We'll talk about simulacra next week, but, and if you use the candle, you would blow, obviously the candle, you would have already blown it out. So you just disassemble it. There's no special deal. It's with simulacra that you have a little more to deal with, because you have to free the simulacra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, unkey it?
Yeah, you have to unkey it.
Yeah.
Cut lines on it.
Yeah.
Right. But we'll talk about simulacra next week, which will be our last class, and the sun crystal and so forth. Yeah, I can't think of anything else on these candle spells other than, yes, they're a lot of work. If they were real easy, everybody'd be doing them and getting the results. But they work, and they're worth it if it's worth it to you to get the result. And you learn a lot in the process. I think my first multiple candle spell, I probably put an easy 100 hours of work on. And then I had to take it down. Because I made a critical error of putting an enforcer in it. So, hey, but I survived the experience. And so to help us, make the ritual, day greetings and day endings, six directions, walking in my magical self, I greet you. Sky Father and Earth Mother, walking in my magical self, I greet you.
I'm writing it down, so I don't have to ask for it.
Yeah.
Walking in
my magical self.
I greet you.
Right. And of course, the way this was, of course, was designed was that, you know, you, each week you did a certain type, like, you know, when we were doing directions and limiters, we would have written them and tested them, and then we would have, the next week, carved our candles, written our verses, carved our candles, and tested all that, of course, before we carved it, and then this week we would have launched the stuff. So that walking in my magical self is a help. And the reason I'm saying this is that if you're going to be doing, I'm not saying don't do it, I'm saying, but if you're going to be launching your spell later, which is fine, when the week that you launch your spell, you also want to do walking in my magical spell. Because that is a help to that practice.
It adds force.
Yeah, and it keeps you more at the level of the stuff.
Yeah.
Hopefully prevents some of our doubts and disagreements, disagreeabilities from, you know, getting involved, locked up, or tied up with the spell. So, if there are no further questions or comments, that's everything I know of.
Thank you very much.
Yes, indeed. Can you believe it's been almost 30 weeks we've been at this?
The better part of a year.
No.
But a very good
year. Yes, yes, yes. Good year blimps and all that. Okay, you guys. Thanks much.
Good night.
Good night to you all.
Thank you. Good night.